Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hit! Browns are going to win!
Mayfield and Sean Landry, touchdown!
With Dan Kadar and Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. With Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
Intercepted! Picked off by Denzel Ward!
Chubb will take this all the way! 92 yards!
Browns fans, now Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Good evening, everybody, and if you're up, you're crazy, just like we are. Hi, I'm George Thomas from the Akron Beacon Journal with Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository, Marla Reitenauer from the Akron Beacon Journal, and Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Bringing you Browns coverage and, you know, recovering from heart attacks this evening. Guys, what the hell happened tonight?
Andrew Berry said it was a fever dream, right? Or he joked about it being one. Trading up for a linebacker, he was breaking a couple of the perceived rules that he has and was having fun with us about it. And when you look at the mock drafts leading up to this thing, a lot of people had a cornerback. You know, a lot of people had Greg Newsome the second in the first round for the Browns. And a lot of people had the linebacker from Notre Dame, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. We're all going to have to practice that name. I need to probably polish it up. they end up with both of them. And Steve Dorshuk's giving out A pluses. I mean, what a night.
First of all, he wasn't having fun with us. That was a straight up troll job tonight. He was laughing on the inside. It's like, nah, 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 nah. So now that was a troll job.
I think they were all a little giddy that they pulled this off. I mean, they couldn't have imagined him dropping that far where they could go up to get him.
And here's the hilarious part. Browns Nation loves the front office right now. And I don't know if you ever, if anyone ever thought they'd see that.
Not in the expansion era.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, George. I mean, I definitely agree that that people love Andrew Berry and what's not to love about the coach of the year, Stefanski. And Paul DePodesta is looking like maybe he'll actually play himself in the Moneyball too. He's getting so big. But looking back to Phil Savage, I think Phil had a lot of credibility and had some real traction and some potential popularity. And in fact, I thought of Phil tonight. I'm thinking of him right now when I see the picks that the new regime made. And how much sense they make, and wow, how did he pull this off? But when Phil was here, I always thought, or almost always thought, that everything that Phil did was very logical and made very good sense, and played along with him following his mantra of use what you have, start where you are, do what you can. I thought he did all that. Of course, it worked out terribly in the end. But I guess based on the fact that I thought Phil was so logical and fairly wise in maneuvering, I'm still hesitant to heap too much praise on the regime tonight because these guys, as good as they look, I'll tell you, folks, I'm as excited about this third pick, Anthony Schwartz, because I'm a track fan as any of the others. This looks so good, and there's such a buzz right now. But at the same time, No, lucky my knees are bad because I don't have to put the brakes on. They're on automatically.
There goes Steve, plus, guys.
Steve, you were right, and we have to remember that the fans did save Phil when he got in that, you know, tiff with the guy in the front office, and the fans basically saved him. So,
right, there was Phil Marlin and Dorsey, too. I thought Dorsey was very, very popular. Look at I mean, the people in-house, the public relations people, practically chortled when they walked around the building with Dorsey. I said, oh, that's just the Doris. But everybody was buddy-buddy with Dorsey. He was extremely popular there for just a stretch. So, no, George, I'm just saying that I don't think this is the first time that a regime began to form some popularity. It is the first time a regime was coming off a season that included a playoff win.
Now, what do you guys like about, and I'm not going to try to pronounce his name at 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't. So we're just going to call him Jeremiah for right now. What do you guys like about this guy?
Well, I like that he is kind of bringing to the linebacking core what John Johnson III and what they hope Grant Delpit brings to the safety position, and that is just an ultimate chess piece, versatility, a guy you can move around in different ways and use him in, you know, is your traditional weak side linebacker at times, covering the slot. You know, he's going to give Joe Woods tremendous flexibility. One thing I want to say, I don't want to go too long, but Joe Woods did not get to play the defense he wanted to play last year, because when Grant Delpit ruptured that Achilles, it wrecked a lot of plans. Even with the trade for Ronnie Harrison, he still wasn't that chess piece that they needed to allow Joe Woods to play his dime package. That was his primary defense when he was the coordinator in Denver. I just heard him recently on some of the Browns in-house programming, like last week, I believe. I don't have the exact numbers, but I think that I'm going to be pretty accurate in paraphrasing, saying that in Denver, in his two seasons there as defensive coordinator, he played more than 400 snaps of dime. And in last season in Cleveland, it was like 16 snaps of dime. So now when you add John Johnson III, hope to get Grant Delpit back healthy. And with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, I'm trying to get it right. I think you're going to have Joe Woods, get to play the defense he wants to play. So that's what I like, that you're getting these versatile pieces, and you're going to be able to see the vision come to life.
Now, here's a question. They hardly, and I, if I remember correctly, they hardly blitzed last year defensively. I mean, does this change the calculus? Does what they did so far change the calculus in that regard in any respect?
I think it really does. That's one of the things that crossed my mind when the research was underway after the draft pick of JOK, and he's going to be JOK for me from this moment going forward, for lack of the ability to pronounce anything. But one of the reports on him is that even though he didn't have the sacks in college, he's very capable of that. But Nate, you're talking about him as a chess piece and versatile, and he's all that. You know, he's athletic and he recognizes things. But I'm thinking that this really plays into the addition of Jadeveon Clowney to Myles Garrett, because teams are going to start by wanting to double team Garrett, and then they have to freeze up Clowney to look like a number one overall pick, and they have to have half a thought about double teaming him. Then if you have a wild card able to blitz, JOK apparently is, he is, for all the hype that he's getting inside and outside the building. But to me, they have a real monster brewing.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of with Steve as far as that, because I want plays, you know, game-changing plays, you know, hard hits, takeaways, and I feel like he could be one of the ones that generates that, especially with what you're saying about the attention on the defense. And so that's what I'm hoping that this creates for the Browns.
Marla, I just want to take a minute to let you discuss what you've been lamenting for how many years. Break it all down and tell us how you're feeling about this. And honestly, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, the other quarterbacks who are left in the final four of the AFC, how does all that play into it?
Well, you know, I've been saying for years that they didn't have a linebacker that could start for any other NFL team, at least not a playoff caliber team. And I really do feel like that's changed today. I really do. I agree with you about that. You know, you have all these running quarterbacks, you know, you need a new style of linebacker, but I really do feel like they've been searching. You know, I mentioned it in the column that ran this morning about searching for their Troy Polamalu, you know, I'm searching for their Ed Reed, searching for the guy who changes the game and wins games, you know, and I didn't feel like they ever had one of those in the linebacking core. But I feel like this, I mean, he could be the one. I mean, Andrew Berry didn't want to go that far, but I mean, I have had at least one person in the Browns organization agreed with that premise of mine a few years ago. So I really am excited about this just because I feel like, and plus he'll elevate all the rest of the guys, you know, in his group too. So
when was the last time the Browns had a linebacker was this versatile? I mean, I'll throw out a name to you because I'm getting old and I don't remember a lot of things in the past 10 years, but I think Chip Banks. Am I wrong?
Well, Jameer Miller was pretty good.
Yeah. Jameer Miller, Chip Banks. I mean,
they blew out of the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
DeQuell, to me, was between then Jameer Miller and now DeQuell Jackson would have been the best. And DeQuell was a good, but not a great all around player. But yeah, the moral of the story, just like you folks are talking about, is they haven't had one. And how refreshing it is, too. But my last point that I was going to make, guys, before we go bake a pizza is, George, you don't have a hat on. Marla, I don't see a hat. But if you have one, I think it's going to be really important for us to pass the hat and get some money for Sheldon Richardson because they still do have a role of defensive tackle.
Well, I still want that defensive tackle from Ohio State. Togiai, or I don't know how to pronounce his name. There. Yeah.
One of the top ranked players. Had to do that story again tonight, and he's one of the top guys left. So he would seem to fit, whether it's him or another defensive tackle, sure. But now that's fourth round, so I don't know. I'm not super optimistic about finding the answer in the fourth round. What Larry Okunjobi was a third rounder, and he was just okay. I think you get down to the fourth round, you want more than just okay if you want to contend for a Super Bowl.
Okay, well, I'll wear my hat tomorrow then.
Okay. Make it a big one. Lots of money.
Steve, you said you were so excited about Anthony Schwartz. Is there anything else that strikes you about him before we go?
No, just, you know, I'm old enough to read. Marla, you're way too young to remember Bob Hayes, so I'll just pretend like I'm the only one in the room who does. But, you know, that I always, like I say, I'm a track fan. I've always loved having, you know, unicorn type of talent on the field. I looked this up today. He ran a 10-1 when he was in high school. The Ohio high school record was set by Brandon Saint, who went to Ohio State as a real, real burner. He has the state record in the 100 meters at 10.38, I think. And the kid they drafted tonight ran a 10.15 in high school. So that's just smoking. So I've got to think that Baker Mayfield's pretty fired up about just practicing with this guy.
Yeah. I think that, you know, interesting, the very beginning of Andrew Berry's, you know, press conference tonight on Zoom, whatever we call it now, other than the fever dream, he said something about the theme of the night, the theme of day two is speed. Speed on defense, which we know watching the you know, games against the Ravens, when they're 0-2 against the Ravens last season. And, you know, the loss in the divisional round of the Chiefs, you needed to upgrade the speed on defense, but also obviously the speed in the receiving core. And Andrew Berry talked at length about, you know, in missing that element, especially when Odell Beckham Jr. was out for the season with the torn ACL. So now, George, this is going to be tough on your guy, former Zips star JoJo Natson. I think he's really the odd man out tonight.
Probably. But JoJo's got a bank account. He's cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's rehabbing an ACL, but he could catch on somewhere.
Yeah, JoJo's cool.
Mike Prefer likes him a lot, and it's going to be interesting to see if Schwartz is going to be worked into a return man because he didn't do it at Auburn. But he told us on the Zoom that he did it in high school and would be eager.
Indeed, he did.
All right, I got to go bake my pizza, guys.
That's your sauce for me.
I'm going to sleep.
You can't, George. They have three picks within 23 tomorrow, and they're fifth on the clock tomorrow. So just stay up, big guy.
Yeah. I won't be on anything before 11:45 a.m. tomorrow.
All right. Send us to the other. You got to put the pizza in.
All right, guys. Sleep well.
See y'all tomorrow.